increased even in the past months, even when the regime is committing a genocide against the Palestinians. Israel's diamonds are drenched in blood. Tel Aviv steals the precious gems from African countries such as Congo, Sudan, and Ivory Coast, using children as the easiest source of cheap labor.
Protesters outside Vicenza's jewelry industry fair are saying that most people don't know that the diamond industry is a main source of funding for the Israeli military. They argue that Israeli blood diamonds have bankrolled the mass murder of over 24,000 Gazans since early October, most of whom were women and children. Vicenza has been hosting rallies in response to Israeli jewelry dealers participating in its international gold fair for nearly two decades.
Noi contestiamo questa presenza.
We are against having the Israelis at the Vicenza gold fair. It's immoral for everybody and mostly for our city. Doing business with a country that is standing before the International Court of Justice is dishonorable. A country that is committing genocide now as we speak. What's the difference between our deaths and the Ukrainian deaths?
Also on Friday, a public assembly was held in central Vicenza. The initiative was attended, among the others, by Italian healthcare workers who were in Gaza during the bombing carried out by Israeli regime in the past months. On Saturday, Vicenza will also host a rally in solidarity with the besieged Palestinians. Max Civili, Vicenza.
The United States election campaign has just officially begun 10 months before going to the voting booth. In Iowa, ex-President Donald Trump easily won the Republican Party's kickoff to primary season, but he's still as controversial as ever. Many openly claim that his return to the White House would produce civil war, retribution tribunals, dictatorship, and even worse. In New Hampshire, a revolt against the Democratic National Committee means local Democrats will soon hold a primary which has been stripped of its delegates. That helps reflect the deep dissatisfaction within the party towards President Joe Biden. Many wonder if the previous election's unprecedented political activism and months of chaos will return.
Yeah, 2020 was crazy. I hope it's not as intense as that.
I think 2024 is going to look like 1968. The parallels are uncanny. Chicago convention, et cetera, et cetera. I think very good chance Biden will pull out in the first quarter of this year and not be the nominee. So I think anything and everything will happen.
With both candidates having such high disapproval ratings and amid such economic, political, and military disaster, it's widely expected that both candidates will run extremely negative campaigns.
I'm expecting a brutal campaign. They're all garbage in some way or another, and hope for the best for the country. I mean, how I end up voting, I guess, is my own particular decision when the time comes, but certainly don't like where the country's at today.
Biden's support for Israel's latest war on Gaza has deeply angered his critical base of young voters. Many Muslim and Arab Americans have vowed to not cast a vote for Biden. Either group could tip the balance in what polls expect to be the fourth consecutive presidential election to be decided by less than 4.5 points.
I think that's the kryptonite for Joe Biden. He's screwed up that situation so badly that, you know, the younger generations turned against him. And I don't see, if he continues with his stance on Gaza, I don't see, like, the younger generation coming back for his support.
The war against Gaza will also drastically shape congressional elections. A recent nationwide poll found that voters prefer candidates who support a ceasefire in Gaza to those who don't by a whopping 2-to-1 margin. Ramin Mazahiri, Chicago.
In a powerful display of solidarity and condemnation, thousands of Pakistanis took to the streets in the port city of Karachi to protest against Israeli atrocities in Gaza. The protest, dubbed the Million Man March for Gaza, saw demonstrators from various walks of life voicing their anger at the Israeli regime and demanding an end to the violence that has engulfed the region for weeks.
Our demands, first of all, ceasefire immediately. And we demand the freedom of Palestine from the river to the sea. And we demand Israel to be taken into accountability for all the crimes they have committed against the Palestinian nation.
The march witnessed massive turnouts with protesters chanting slogans to condemn the Israeli massacre in Gaza. Simultaneously, civil society activists and Palestinian students studying at Pakistani universities also held protest demonstrations in solidarity with people of Gaza, praising South Africa for taking a bold step by filing a case against Israel at the International Court of Justice.
I think we can all learn from South Africa. The way they have stood up for Palestine when no other country stood by them. We are so proud of South Africa, and I feel that our government can learn from them. If we want to, we can really make a difference. We can join the petition.
South Africa, I could not even think would come into and having this whole thing taken up by them. It should have been Saudi Arabia. It should have been UAE. It should have been Jordan. It would have been other Muslim countries. But the leaders are just watching. They're just watching, you know, and they're not doing anything.
The protesters called on other nations to support South Africa's initiative and urged the International Court of Justice to conduct a thorough investigation into alleged atrocities committed by Israeli forces in Gaza.
The demonstrations for Gaza highlight a widespread sentiment among Pakistanis against unwavering support from the U.S. and its Western allies for Israel's actions in the region. These marches provide a platform for Pakistanis to vocally condemn Israeli forces for their atrocities against Palestinian population. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Over 100 prominent activists, as well as academics and religious figures, gathered in Tehran to attend a one-day conference titled Al-Aqsa Flood and the Awakening of Human Conscience. Sponsored by the World Forum for Proximity of Islamic Schools of Thought, the conference focused on atrocities committed by the Israeli regime and discussed the recent developments in Gaza and how public opinion is responding, with more and more demonstrations held in different cities across the world in support of Palestine.
We are hosting this conference while innocent people are suffering in Gaza. I'm happy to see that prominent scholars of the Muslim world are voicing their support for Palestinians, and conferences similar to this are also held in other Muslim countries such as Turkey, Mauritania, and Tunisia. This means that our conference is living up to its slogan and is actually awakening human conscience.
Taking into account the caliber of the participants of this conference, I expect it to create a new wave of support, not just in Arab and Muslim countries, which I should note that they have always offered great support, but other countries in the world, those who would normally not react to developments in the Middle East. I think we will be witnessing strong support coming from people in those countries.
What we see happening in Gaza today must anger all of those who claim to support human rights and democracy, anyone with conscience.
But most participants seek greater opportunities in this conference.
We need to use that platform very effectively to call for a ceasefire that actually happens on the ground, because that's the first priority. After the ceasefire, then we can look at people returning to their normal lives. That's what people need to return to.
Many researchers taking part pointed out that the events that are happening today are the result of the world remaining silent in the face of Israeli aggressions, and now it is the time to put double standards aside and stand up to oppression.
All the participants are unanimously calling for an immediate ceasefire, demanding the Israeli regime to stop the bloodshed in the Gaza Strip. Gizum Shahmadi, Tehran.
The Israeli regime's genocidal war in Gaza is ongoing. So is the public campaign to try and stop it. Organizers say 500,000, many of them young people, from across the UK, descended upon the capital, London, to push the government to act on their demands.
Definitely a ceasefire in the short term, and then ultimately end of occupation.
It's absolutely despicable that our country and our political representatives cannot reflect our views and show that we firstly want a ceasefire and secondly want to use some kind of influence to working towards a peaceful solution.
We want an immediate ceasefire and an end to the occupations.
The march comes hot on the heels of US-UK strikes on Yemen, and a day after the International Court of Justice heard a landmark genocide case against Israel brought by South Africa, a case the UK government did not support.
UK governments for decades have been complicit in failing to hold Israel to account and thereby supporting the sustenance of his system of apartheid. But this is a particularly egregious episode in that history of complicity, because what we are complicit with now is a genocide.
Among the diverse crowd, healthcare professionals who know all too well the impact of the relentless U.S.-Israeli bombardment of the civilian infrastructure in Gaza.
I think what we're seeing is a systematic targeting of the healthcare system in Gaza Strip. And in fact, the entire infrastructure and supply of things that are needed to keep a population alive. If you just think about you, for example, and what you need to stay alive, you need water, you need food, you need shelter. Depending on, you know, your living situation, you need electricity. And if you're unwell, you need a hospital. And those are all the things that have been systematically targeted.
What's striking about this protest, as with the previous ones, is not just its sheer size, but also its youthfulness. Young men and women energized by the knowledge that the pressure that they have brought to bear over the past 3 months can contribute to a change in the policy of the British government on the ongoing Israeli massacre of the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip.
This is the first national pro-Palestine demonstration of the year. Organizers say as long as the bloodshed in Gaza continues, so will their campaign. Saeed Pourreza, London.
On Saturday, thousands of people took to the streets of the Italian capital to stage a rally in support of Gaza and the Palestinians. The initiative, dubbed Stop the Genocide of Palestinians, was joined by a string of organizations representing social partners, including base unions and humanitarian associations, and people from all walks of life.
It is appalling how the media ignore these initiatives, how the people's understanding of what's happening in Gaza is shaped by lies. Despite that, many people are here today.
Many at the rally stressed the importance of South Africa's submission to the International Court of Justice, accusing Israel of committing genocide in Gaza.
Although the ICJ is notoriously biased, it is important that a country that has suffered apartheid for decades, like South Africa, has filed a genocide case against Israel.
It's a new Nakba. We have already seen tens of thousands of displaced Gazans. Sadly, history repeats itself.
So far, the Italian government has unrelentingly sided with the Israeli regime. This despite hundreds of pro-Palestine demonstrations across Italy over the past months. On January the 1st, Italy began its one-year presidency of the Group of Seven major industrialized powers. Earlier this week, the Italian Foreign Minister Antonio Tajani said that G7 members are working with the Israeli regime to secure a rapid end to Tel Aviv's onslaught in Gaza and reduce the civilian casualties.
My long militancy on the side of the Palestinians has taught me not to trust words, only actions matter. Let's wait and see. It could just be a mere propaganda strategy by the Italian government.
On Saturday, besides Rome rally, a dozen more demonstrations in solidarity with Palestinians were also held in many other Italian cities, including Milan, Turin, Florence, Genoa, and Pisa. Max Civili, Rome.
This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio. With you every single moment.
Of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willest, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from thee: the facility to obey thee at its beginning, and the favor of thy forgiveness at its end. O he who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Welcome to Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, as the Israeli regime continues to lose on the battleground in Gaza to the Palestinian resistance, it tries to up the ante by assassinating various resistance fighters or leaders elsewhere. On Saturday, the regime committed another terrorist act. This time, five of Iran's Revolutionary Guards in Syria were targeted, and also a car in South Lebanon was targeted, which killed at least two members of the Palestinian resistance movement, Hamas. Now, this is just the latest attempt by the Zionist entity to bring other parties into this war to distract from its failure at not even being able to beat a militia group. We're going to take a look at all this on the Spotlight. I'd like to welcome my guest to the program now. Massoud Shahjaneh, chairman of Islamic Human Rights Commission out of London. And Saab Shath, author and West Asia expert out of Belfast. Thank you both for being with me. I'd like to start this off in London. And Massoud, I mean, what's your overall assessment of the reason the Israeli regime has assassinated these individuals at this point in time?
Well, it's very obvious and very clear for the whole of international community to see through it that this conflict is non-winnable by Israeli Zionist state. And in fact, all the sort of the goals that they have targeted for themselves is not going to be achieved and is impossible to achieve. And so therefore, it's one could say that this war, with this sort of atrocities being committed, has been unleashed just to save not the Zionist state, but to save Netanyahu and his cabinet. And now that it's very clear that they're not even able to achieve that particular goal, i.e. savior of Netanyahu as a political leader, they have to widen this war, and they have to make the waters even more muddy. And so, therefore, they want to expand the conflict.
Master, I'm going to interrupt you because we're having some issues with the sound. I'm going to cross over to Saab, and hopefully we can take care of the audio there. Saab, your thoughts, and let's talk about that. Why isn't the regime able to win on the battlefield?
Start with, I condemn strongly the assassination of the five brothers of the Islamic Revolutionary Guards by the criminal Zionist entity. It's not new. That's what they do since the 50s, since their emancipation and that. They cannot, because as my brother was alluding to, which is hardly, they didn't achieve any of their declared or undeclared the goals. the declared goals. We know the elimination of Hamas, which they couldn't. The resistance is strong and fighting, even in the north, which they say they are in control in Gaza. It's today evident what the losses they sustain. Even in the south, in Khan Yunis, they couldn't for the last 60 or so days enter the heart of Khan Yunis. They cannot. All what they do is raids at cemeteries, discreet. The graves in there and steal bodies. That's what they done a couple of days ago in Khan Yunis. And the resistance is putting a strong fight, and they are stubborn in the land, and they'll not allow them to go any further. And the people as well, even with the lack of water, with the lack of medicine, with the lack of shelter, they didn't even find tents to live in, is stubborn. They don't want to be evicted of their land, as this is one of the undeclared goals of the Netanyahu fascist government. They want to shove the people from the Gaza Strip, from the south to Egypt. And the resilience of the Palestinian people is they couldn't understand how unarmed civilians with no shelter, no medicine, no water, no food, no nothing, is still standing in their ground, and they don't want to be moved. And this is one of the things. The other thing, as well your guest maybe hinted to, they want to expand the war. A failure of this function state to be the tool of hegemony for the United States of America and the West cannot counter resistance in Gaza Strip, in a sliver of land. And it's this resistant groups showed this is this state, it's not able even to protect itself, not to be the hegemony tool in West Asia. And this is very strong message. The United States of America got involved in the genocide in Gaza, the UK and the West behind to sustain the power and the strength of the Zionist entity so it can function as a hegemonical tool for the United States of America and the West. Otherwise, the balance of power globally will tilt, mm-hmm. and then newcomers will come in.
Okay, well, let me cross back over to Masoud. Hopefully that audio issue has been resolved. Masoud, Tehran says the Israeli regime targets the military advisors who were in Syria to actually help defeat terrorist group. And according to Iranian officials, this is part of organized terrorism by the Israeli regime, which has a history of supporting Takfiri terrorists in Syria and elsewhere. Your take on this?
Well, it's very obvious and well documented that this Zionist regime has supported the Takfiris in Syria. Let us remember when they were setting up hospitals around Golden Heights and actually bringing these people and looking after their health and putting them back in into action. And whenever they were challenged, the Israeli officials turn around and say they're doing that not because they support these terrorist groups, they're doing it because of the humanitarianism that they believe in. It's ridiculous. And the fact of the matter is that, yes, they do that. But I think at the moment, it goes beyond that. It's not just trying to help these Takfiri groups strengthen them. This is actually trying to expand the conflict to cover Netanyahu and Netanyahu's political future. And it's even got nothing to do with the safety and security of the Zionist state or its well-being or anything else. This is purely a desperate move by Netanyahu and a small group of extremists in cabinet, which actually see no other way forward other than expanding and trying to get more countries and more of the region and beyond involved in this war. Because they're losing so badly.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Well, Saad, the Israeli regime is currently bombing three different countries, Palestine, Syria, and Lebanon. Can you name any other entity, perhaps except the United States, who is its sponsor, that would be responsible for bombing three different countries like this? And there are no major condemnations. I mean, nothing is done.
The countries are obvious, the ones involved in this. The ones who is the supporting the genocide in Gaza, we witness, apart from the United States of America, of course, and its Delta Force and the advisors, the United Kingdom sent from Cyprus a military base, its drones and its spying airplanes to scan the Gaza Strip and to provide the information to the Zionist entity. The Germans, The French are as well involved and in there in full support. As well, you have in the Red Sea, you have the Australian and Holland as well, Netherlands there behind the United States of America. These are, but saying that, let me go back to the what's happening in Syria and the assassination. I want to pick up where my brother left. The Syrian government requested from Islamic Republic of Iran to provide us some expert in fighting these Takfiri groups. And this is the assassinated five brothers. They were part of this Revolutionary Guards who assisting the Syrian and how to counter these revolutionary groups. We witnessed just days ago, the United States of America beefed its presence in Syria and sent thousands of soldiers to man some of the bases in the northeast of Syria. And some more become active, the Takfiri groups like Daesh and affiliated groups like Al-Qaeda, even the Kurds in the northeast, and some of in Idlib as well, who's all supported by the United States of America and others. So this, they started to do more attacks around Syria. They wanted to start small wars in Syria, to destabilize Syria more like before. The assassination will help in limiting the assistance Syria provided by Iran to try to stop these Takfiri groups. The bigger project, which is the United States of America, doesn't want to see herself involved in a wider war. But that's what Netanyahu's government is doing and it's dragging. They sucked already the United States of America in the Red Sea against Yemen. And now they're trying to take Syria out of the equation totally. So when they fight in Lebanon, in the south of Lebanon, when they fight the Lebanese resistance, that means this the route coming from Iran to Syria to support the resistance in Lebanon is cut off. So they can corner the Lebanese resistance. This is the plan the Zionist entity is doing. And I think the American helping them in doing it. Otherwise, why they're beefing up their soldiers? Why from the Tanf, where is the American base and at the border of Iraq and the Syrian Badia, you can see the activities of rehabilitated the Al-Qaeda supported affiliated groups or the Daesh. They become more active and they become more targeting the Syrian security forces and army involved. So there is a bigger picture in here, which is it might spill over to a bigger regional war. They want to drag Iran. Netanyahu is desperate to drag Iran in because in that way he will be fully The United States of America will be involved.
Okay, stay with me. I want to pick up on that note. Masoud, you heard what Saab said, that the Zionist entity want to expand the war. On the one hand, it can't handle what's going on in Gaza right now with the Palestinian resistance. And then we see in the northern occupied territories with Hezbollah and that the regime cannot handle that. But it seems that it wants a wider war. It perhaps thinks that it wants the United States in to help it. But isn't it obvious that basically it would be shooting itself in the foot if this war would widen?
Well, I think the policy of the Zionist state vis-a-vis since 7th of October has been shooting itself in the foot. You know, they have gone into this war knowing that they're not going to be able to win it, putting sort of aims and objectives, which is not winnable. And, we need to separate the aims and objectives and what is winnable for a state of Israel and the Zionist state, and then what is sort of benefit to Netanyahu and a small group of sort of extremists in the cabinet. I think these two need to be separated from one another. And the fact that he wants to expand this war, it's because of the international court, what is happening with ICJ. It's what is happening in United States and in Europe and in the West. People are coming out in millions and billions.
Okay, Masoud, I'm so sorry to interrupt you again, but unfortunately we're having some difficulty with your audio tonight. Let's try to get that adjusted. Well, Saab, going back to you, with the situation and if they want to expand it, we've seen already how resistance, various parts of the resistance have already responded. And today it was Iraq's resistance. 40 rockets were fired in dealing with the various U.S. bases there. Let's talk about that possibility. If this was to expand, what does it mean? Because Iran, on the one hand, has said it will definitely respond and the regime will definitely pay for what it has done. So let's hear your assessment of what it all could mean.
The declared object of the resistance in the region is to cleanse the United States of America and its projects from West Asia. That means we seen the Iraqi parliament voted before on a bill to ask the United States of America to leave Iraq. So the United States of America's presence in Iraq right now is occupation. If there is any politicians in Iraq try to bluff their way around that, they are mistaken. It's legislated for. This is the United States of America now understand they are occupying parts of Iraq and they are looting Iraq to the amount of $1 trillion a year, and they know that. The same thing goes in Syria. It's an occupation. The Syrian government didn't ask the Americans to come and occupy the oil and gas fields in the northeast of Syria. So the resistance is going to attack them, and they will attack them, and this is declared part. And the United States of America, desperate, don't want to be, cleansed from this region because it means they will lose control over the gas fields and over the oil and over controlling what other countries buy from the region, like China, how much China can have oil out of the region of East Asia, which will help its growth. So the United States want to control the growth of the Chinese, wanted to control any country who is buying oil. Funny enough, the United States of America doesn't need the oil from the region. They have enough, but they want to control the growth and to stagnate some other economies. This is the United States of America's policy of hegemony in the region.
All right, Saab, thanks. So let me get Masoud in here right before the end. Sorry about all of this technical difficulty tonight. Well, Masoud, where do you see all of this going? I asked Saab with the situation. We have seen reactions from various parts of the resistance. On the one hand, the Israeli regime thinks that it wants others to get involved. On the other hand, what do you think it could mean, and perhaps where is this going?
Well, it really is. We're at a very dangerous position. I'm talking about the international community and the peace in the region. Because on one side, Netanyahu cannot sustain support for itself, even from the United States. That is withering, and we're seeing that the public opinion is turning against Israel, and indeed even political public opinion is turning. Right. Same thing is happening in Britain and in Europe. An international court is putting pressure. So he feels he's got no other option except to expand this war. Expansion of this war would be extremely bloody for everyone and for the region. United States and others will be dragged into it. And I think the international community need to act right now if they want to stop a sort of war which will be expanded and it will be engulfing not just occupied Palestine but far beyond it.
And on that note, I appreciate both of you being with us tonight on the Spotlight. Masoud Shajadeh, Chairman of Islamic Human Rights Commission out of London, Saab Shath, author and West Asian expert out of Belfast. And thank you, viewers, for being with us on another Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing off for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thank you.
from east to west. Throughout the vast land of Iran, you're listening to IRIB English Radio. In the limelight.
South Africa has instituted proceedings against the Israeli regime at the International Court of Justice, the ICJ, over Israel's genocidal onslaught in the Gaza Strip. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. The British government has been charged with double standards after submitting detailed legal arguments to the International Court of Justice, the ICJ, to support claims that Myanmar has committed genocide, but refraining from doing the same in the case of Israel. In late December, South Africa started proceedings against the Israeli regime at the International Court of Justice, the ICJ, over the regime's genocidal war in the Gaza Strip, which has so far massacred tens of thousands of Palestinians. The lawsuit says Israel's actions are genocidal in character because they're intended to bring about the destruction of a substantial part of the Palestinian national, racial and ethnic group. While Britain made a 21-page declaration of intervention in the case of Myanmar's genocide against the Rohingya ethnic group, jointly with five other countries, it is not supporting South Africa as it prepares to convince the ICJ that Israel is committing genocide against the Palestinian people. According to a recent report by The Guardian, Tayyab Ali, the head of the international law at Bindman's law firm, says the significance of the UK submission on Myanmar lay in showing the importance the UK attaches to adherence to the United Nations Genocide Convention, and in showing the United Kingdom took a wide and not a narrow definition of acts of genocide and the intent to commit genocide. He added, it would be wholly disingenuous if Britain, 6 weeks after advancing such a significant and broad definition of genocide in the case of Myanmar, now adopts a narrow definition in the case of Israel. The report said, while the United Kingdom's submission on Myanmar highlights the importance of children in assessing a genocide when it comes to Israel, London ignores that nearly 10,000 Palestinian children and babies have been massacred in the Gaza Strip, accounting for about 40% of the fatalities. Qatar's Al Jazeera television network has also covered the same story and tells us more. South Africa has instituted proceedings against the Israeli regime at the International Court of Justice over the regime's genocidal onslaught in the Gaza Strip, which has so far massacred tens of thousands of Palestinians. The lawsuit says the acts in question include massacring Palestinians in Gaza, causing them serious bodily harm and mental harm, and inflicting on them conditions of life calculated to bring about their physical destruction. The application said that Israel has engaged in, is engaging in, and risks further engaging in genocidal acts against the Palestinian people in Gaza. Various governments and human rights organizations have denounced the Israeli genocide in Gaza and called for international investigation into it. South Africa has been one of the outspoken critics of the Israeli regime's ongoing war in the Gaza Strip and has led some initiatives to hold Israel accountable for its actions in Gaza. The country's lawmakers recently voted in favor of closing down the Israeli embassy in Pretoria and suspending all diplomatic relations until Israel's onslaught on Gaza has ended. In November, the country referred Israel to the International Criminal Court, the ICC, which is already investigating the occupied Palestinian territories. South Africa has backed the Palestinian cause for statehood in Israeli-occupied territories for decades, likening the plight of Palestinians to those of black majority in South Africa during the repressive apartheid regime. The International Court of Justice, the ICJ, is one of six principal organs of the United Nations and helps settle disputes between states according to international law. The Business Standard has also covered the same story and tells us more. South Africa, in an 84-page lawsuit filed against the Israeli regime at the ICJ on 29th of December, asked the top court to urgently declare that the Tel Aviv regime has breached its responsibilities under international law since 7th of October, when it launched an ongoing war on the densely populated coastal sliver. Pretoria detailed evidence of brutality being perpetrated in the Gaza Strip, making South Africa the first country to file a lawsuit against Israel at the United Nations as top court. Pretoria, amongst other urgent measures, is asking the International Court of Justice, the ICJ, to order that Israel immediately suspend its military operations in and around Gaza. Israel has already rejected South Africa's legal move with disgust, while the United States of America, Tel Aviv's staunch ally and supporter, denounced the submission as meritless, counterproductive, and completely without any basis in fact. More than 3 months into the war, Tel Aviv has failed to achieve its declared objective of eliminating the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas and expulsion of Palestinians from the Gaza Strip. Website Axios has also covered the same story and tells us more. The Israeli Foreign Ministry has ordered its embassies across the globe to make sure that their host countries reject South Africa's genocide case against it at the International Court of Justice, the ICJ. Pretoria addressed the ICJ recently, saying Israel's ongoing attacks on Gaza are genocidal in character, because they are intended to bring about the destruction of a substantial part of the Palestinian population. South Africa wants the International Court of Justice at The Hague to issue an injunction ordering the Israeli regime to suspend its military campaign in the enclave. The cable, which was sent out by the Zionist regime's foreign ministry recently, stressed that Israel's strategic goals are for the ICJ to reject South Africa's request for an injunction, refrain from determining that Israel is committing genocide in Gaza, and acknowledge that the Israeli army actions in the enclave comply with international law. The document, copies of which were seen by the Axios news outlet, read, "A ruling by the court could have significant potential implications that are not only in the legal world, but have practical bilateral, multilateral economic security ramifications." According to the Israeli Foreign Ministry, Israeli diplomats must pressure their counterparts and high-level politicians in host countries to issue immediate and unequivocal public statement along the following lines: to publicly and clearly state that your country rejects the outrageous, absurd, and baseless allegations made against Israel. The cable added, "It's also important for foreign nations to publicly acknowledge that Israel is working to increase the humanitarian aid to the Gaza Strip, as well as to minimize damage to civilians, while acting in self-defense after the 7th of October attack by the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas. It added Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will also send letters to dozens of world leaders relaying a similar message. Countries like Turkey, Jordan and Malaysia have supported South Africa's case at the ICJ. However, it was rejected by Israel's prime backer, the United States. The U.S. State Department spokesman, Matthew Miller, claimed recently that we're not seeing any acts that constitute genocide in the Gaza Strip.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.